Welcome back, everyone. Today we're diving into a case that's going to be both heartbreaking and super complex. It's one of those that kind of makes you think about justice and mental health and just how humans can behave, you know?
Yeah, totally. And the source we have today is a news article, and even the title grabs you right away. It's called "You Get a Horrible Thing: Judge Condemns Mom After Tragic Stabbing of 13-Month-Old."
Wow. Yeah.
That's heavy stuff.
It's heavy stuff, yeah, and it's not just the title, the whole article is it's raw emotion from the courtroom, you
Yeah,
know?
really pulls you in, doesn't it? Like, you're
Yeah,
right there.
you're right there in it with them. And that's why we're doing a deep dive today.
Yeah.
We want to like peel back the layers, you know, go beyond just the surface of this story, try to understand like what even led to all this and
Correct.
wrestle with all the tough questions that it brings up, you know?
Absolutely.
So let's start with the basics here. The article focuses on this woman, Bethany Caldwell. She's 30 years old, and she was found guilty of fatally stabbing her 13-month-old daughter, Chloe.
Oh man. And the details are rough. Like, it keeps saying that Chloe was stabbed 7 times. It's just brutal, you know.
It's awful. And they describe the courtroom as super tense. Like you can just feel it. Bethany was apparently just trembling there, like overcome with guilt, I guess. And then there's her husband, Mark, who's estranged from her, sitting in the gallery. And he's holding a photo of Chloe and just staring at Bethany with this look of like, I don't
The
even care.
article called it contempt, right?
Yeah, pure contempt, it said. And even the judge was like visibly shaken, they say.
Oh, wow.
It sounds like this case really got to everybody in the room.
Yeah, I bet.
And there's this one quote from the judge to Bethany that really like captures that feeling, you know? The article quotes him directly and he asks her, snapped. Mrs. Caldwell, you're telling me that stabbing your 13-month-old daughter in the chest 7 times was a momentary lapse in judgment.
I
Like,
mean,
it makes you wonder if there can even be a good explanation for something like that.
right. Like, how do you even begin to explain that?
Yeah.
And that kind of brings us to what Bethany's defense is saying, right? They're saying she had severe postpartum psychosis. So basically saying that she wasn't in her right mind when this all happened.
So this is where it gets complicated, right?
Yeah, for
How
sure.
do you even figure out who's to blame when someone might not have even understood what they were doing? You're the expert here. Can you break down what postpartum psychosis even is? I think a lot of folks hear that and don't really get what it means.
Yeah, so it's a mental illness. It can happen after childbirth. It's rare, but it's serious. We're not talking about just feeling a little blue after having a baby. This is like a full break with reality, you know.
Like they're not in the real world anymore.
Totally. They have hallucinations, delusions, like their moods are all over the place. And they even think about hurting themselves or the baby.
Oh man, so they're not even aware of what's going on, really?
It's a distortion, yeah. Like, imagine your senses and your thoughts, even your emotions are like hijacked.
That's scary.
It is. And it's not just sadness. It's like you said, they're totally disconnected from,
Yeah.
you know, what we think is normal.
Yeah. So the article goes on to describe Bethany's side of the story, what happened that night. It's really unsettling. She's talking about all this pressure building up, like she was trapped, you
She
know.
talks about how Chloe was crying and crying, and she was just exhausted. Weeks of not sleeping, you know. Then she had this big fight with Mark that left her feeling just completely overwhelmed.
Like the walls are closing in.
Right. And then these voices, almost whispers, start filling her head.
Oh, wow. So she's hearing things.
Yeah, these accusatory voices.
That's
It's a
terrifying.
lot to handle.
There's this one detail that I can't get out of my head. Bethany says she was already holding the knife before she even realized what she was doing. Doesn't that sound like she knew what she was gonna do? Like she planned it.
Well, not necessarily. That could be a sign of what we call a dissociative state. It happens with certain mental illnesses, like postpartum psychosis. It's like you're on autopilot. Your body's moving, but your mind isn't connected to what you're doing, you know?
So she's not really in control.
Exactly.
It's a scary thought.
It is, yeah. But it's important to think about it when we're trying to figure out what Bethany's state of mind was.
Right. So basically, the defense is saying she was completely overwhelmed and driven by things she couldn't control.
Exactly. And that leads to a big question, you know, where does responsibility start and stop when mental illness is involved?
Man, that's a tough one.
It is. And it's something that courts have to figure out all the time.
Yeah. And in this case, the judge ended up sentencing Bethany to life in prison without parole. He said that her call in 911 after the stabbing meant that she knew what she'd done. Like she planned it, you know?
Right. And he had a powerful statement. He said, "The only tragedy here is that a 13-month-old girl who trusted her mother to protect her is dead." It reminds us that at the end of the day, a young life was lost in all this chaos.
Yeah. So that leaves us with a super hard question. How do we balance justice with compassion when mental illness is part of the equation? It's not an easy answer, is it?
No, not at all. And this case shows that struggle perfectly, you know. Just when you think you've got a handle on it all, there's this huge twist. Bethany's getting led away, and she turns to Mark and shouts, "Tell him! Tell him the truth! You made me do it, Mark! You planted those thoughts in my head!"
Whoa. That changes everything.
Doesn't it?
We were just talking about postpartum psychosis. Like, that was the whole thing. Now it sounds like someone might have been manipulating her, influencing her, you know?
Yeah, and that adds a whole other layer to this story.
We've got this horrible crime, a controversial defense, and now this huge twist with all these unanswered questions.
It's a lot to unpack.
It really is. Where do we even begin?
That's what we'll try to do in the next part of our deep dive. We'll dig into this new accusation and see what it could mean for understanding this whole case.
All right, looking forward to that. We'll be right back after a quick break.
That courtroom outburst from Bethany really throws a wrench in things, huh? Like, it makes you wonder if there's more to this whole thing.
It does. It does. I mean, we were talking about postpartum psychosis and how that could be used as a defense, but now we got to think about manipulation, right? Like, maybe someone was influencing Bethany.
Right. And it makes you think about how this connects to the bigger picture, you know? Things like coercive control. We often think of abuse as something physical, but words can be just as bad.
Especially when someone's already not doing well.
Yeah, like in this case, even if Mark didn't specifically tell Bethany to hurt Chloe, his words could have, you know, planted those seeds of doubt, made her even more anxious, and maybe even contributed to her break from reality.
So it's like he's adding to the problem without directly telling her to do anything.
Exactly. And the article mentions that Mark often told Bethany she wasn't a good mother. Just imagine hearing those words over and over again, especially when you're already having hallucinations and delusions.
That would mess with your head.
It would. It's like this terrifying situation where you can't even tell what's real anymore.
It's like adding fuel to a fire, right?
Perfect way to put it.
And the article describes Mark as being really cold during the trial. Like, he didn't care. And he was even seen giving Bethany these looks like he hated her.
That's important because it could point to a pattern of abuse. Maybe emotional abuse that was happening way before that night. It's not just about one time he said something mean. It's maybe a whole history of manipulation and control, you know?
We should point out, though, that Mark totally denies Bethany's accusations. He says he had nothing to do with what happened and that Bethany's trying to blame him for everything.
And this is where things get tricky. We have two different stories, two versions of reality, and they don't match up.
Like trying to put together a puzzle without all the pieces?
Yeah, we get glimpses into their relationship, but not the whole picture.
Which is why it was important for the judge to order an investigation into what Bethany's saying. It's a way to try and find those missing pieces, you know, to see if there's any truth to her story.
It's a tough spot to be in, right?
Yeah.
How much do we believe someone who did such a horrible thing? Can we believe Bethany, even if it means someone else might be involved?
Especially when what she's saying could help her, right? Like maybe get her a lesser sentence? It's a really hard decision to make.
It is. We have to look at our own biases and what we assume about who's telling the truth. On one hand, we have a mother who did something awful, but on the other, we have her accusations against someone who we're supposed to assume is innocent until proven guilty.
This case has been a roller coaster. We started with what seemed like a straightforward case of mother hurting her child, but now there's this possible conspiracy and accusations flying everywhere.
And the truth is buried under all this doubt. It makes you think about love and violence and how people can manipulate each other in relationships. It makes you wonder what the investigation will find. Will it tell us what happened that night?
That's the big question. And it leads us to the final part of our deep dive. We'll look at what Bethany's accusations mean for her case, for Mark, and for how we understand this whole crazy situation. We've gone through a lot with this case, haven't we? Started with the crime itself, then postpartum psychosis, and now it's like we're looking at a whole new side of things, this possible manipulation.
Yeah, and that's what makes Bethany's last words so powerful. It makes us think that even though she was found guilty, maybe she was a victim too.
You mean like a victim of manipulation?
Exactly. If what Bethany's saying about Mark is true, then it's possible that he had a big part in her mental breakdown. Even if he never directly told her to hurt Chloe, you know?
It's scary to think that someone could use words to make someone do something so awful. It's like a hidden kind of abuse, but it can be just as damaging as physical violence.
Yeah, for sure. And it makes you think, How often does this kind of thing happen in cases where someone has a mental illness, where they're already vulnerable?
Because if Bethany's telling the truth, then it means people failed her. Not just the system, but maybe even people who were supposed to be close to her.
Yeah, that's a good point. This case shows how important it is to see the signs of emotional abuse and manipulation. Sometimes it's really subtle and disguised as caring or even love.
So how do we even notice those red flags? What should we be looking for?
Well, there are some common things abusers do, like criticizing all the time, putting down the other person's achievements, trying to keep them away from their friends and family, making them feel bad about themselves, controlling their money, or gaslighting them so they don't even trust their own thoughts.
It's like slowly tearing someone down until they're totally dependent on the abuser.
Exactly. And for Bethany, who was already dealing with postpartum psychosis, that could have been devastating, you know, like pushing someone who's already about to fall.
So it brings us back to that big question, how much can we trust what Bethany's saying? Can we believe her, even knowing what she did?
It's a tough one. If we believe her, then the whole story changes. But we also got to think about maybe she's just trying to blame someone else to make herself feel less guilty.
It's like we're stuck in this gray area.
Yeah, that's why a good investigation is so important. Everything needs to be looked at carefully, every piece of evidence, every story from the witnesses. What they find out will change things a lot, not just for Bethany and Mark, but for how we understand these kind of cases where mental illness and domestic abuse are mixed together.
This deep dive has been a wild ride, you know. We started with this horrible crime, but now we're talking about all these complicated things like mental health, emotional abuse, and trying to find the truth.
And even though we might not have all the answers, even though this case might leave us with some unanswered questions, just thinking about these things, looking at all sides of the story, that's what helps us understand better.
So as you go about your day, think about this case. Bethany, Chloe, and all the questions we still have, it reminds us that nothing is ever as simple as it seems. And finding the truth means looking at the messy parts, the gray areas.
Because that's how we learn, how we grow as people and as a society. By asking the hard questions, by looking at our own biases, and trying to understand the real people behind the headlines.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll be back soon with another one, another look into the things that make our world so complicated.